Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's Two Teas in a Pod with myself, Teddy Mellencamp, and
Tamara Judge.
I love it. There was not even a pause this time.
Really, I know. I'm getting better every time, right?
I mean, you have a light. I can see your face. I mean, we're really official now,
folks. I put makeup on. I put my hair.
Hot damn. And we have Portia Williams coming on. She is in Los Angeles right now promoting her book, The Pursuit of Portia. So we are so excited to ask her questions from the beginning of when she started Real Housewives of Atlanta to what's going on in her life now. So should we bring her on?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so excited to talk.
Oh, this is so fun.
Yeah.
How are you guys? I'm podcast. Oh my God, I got to start listening to this podcast.
It's brand new for me anyways.
Well, this is, we just got together.
Oh my gosh.
We are so excited. We've been
congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, it's a big deal that you're here with us today, and congratulations on the pursuit of Portia. That's awesome.
Thank you. It's been going good. We're selling out, so that's great.
Yeah, congratulations. Now, the last time I saw you was in Mexico City. We were doing the Fiber One commercial, and it's so ironic that you're on today because I was cleaning my closet out and I found this. Whoops.
Oh my God.
I found this. Yes.
That was epic. Like, don't you always want to repost that commercial for throwback?
I do.
So tell us a little bit about your book. Like, what are people going to get from your book that they never were able to see on the show?
That's the big thing, is that a lot of people have been able to follow my journey on the show, and they're like, girl, what do we not know about you? There's a lot that you don't know about me. A lot of life I've lived, believe it or not. When I started the show, I was 30 years old. You know, so here I am at 40. They have seen those 10 years, but my journey is so much more than just those sound bites from Housewives. And it really dives deep into talking about my journey and my process of getting to this place of power, and as I am now, feeling like I'm walking in my purpose. And I really felt, after I took a look during quarantine at my whole journey, you know, everybody was self-reflecting in the house. You know, if you didn't take account of your life, you did it at that time. And I really looked at it and was like, wow, I have come so far. And I know that a lot of different moments where I was stuck, if I just share those moments, maybe it can help someone else cross over those bridges better than I did, make better choices than I did. So it's kind of like the big sister manual to life.
Well, that's huge, because vulnerability is key, and opening up, because oftentimes we think that we're alone in whatever it is that we're going through. And then all of a sudden people share and it's game changing. Yeah. But if we go back to like the beginning, how did it come that you even got on Real Housewives?
Oh, I definitely talk about that in my book for sure. Because, you know, supporters are interested in that, right? They're like, who would be signing up on Housewives to like have their personal lives on national TV for this long, you know? But for me, it was, I really wanted to show the dynamic between myself and my husband as a positive, you know, as a young couple.
How'd that work out?
I know Tamara's laughing. Like, we all have
this We've all done it. Not you, Teddy.
We have this image, and Teddy too. We have this image that we think we're projecting on the show. And then at the end of the first season, you're like, what the hell?
Right.
That you don't understand me at all. That's not what I wanted you to see or hear or feel. And so after being misunderstood for a long time, I realized after I left the show at 10 years, I was like, I don't want to go down misunderstood at all. I want supporters who've been on this journey with me to really grasp this growth that they see, this glow that they're talking about, where it came from. And it all honestly came from my faith walk and just like really believing that I can become a better Portia.
Now, I have to ask you, you announced that you are leaving the show. Did you get the Vicky, or did you do it on your own?
Okay, that's shady. So I can't go into that.
The Vicky is the demotion. We're going to give you a demotion. Correct. And then you're like, I got it. I got the Vicky.
You got the Vicky too.
I didn't even get the Vicky, guys. I just got fired.
Teddy, what did you get? What was yours?
I was the first one to ever announce that I actually got fired, but they did not renew my contract.
So you just kept it real.
They Bravo said, you can't announce this. Just let it be and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, listen, I can't. Yeah. That's not who I am. Right. I have to be able to say they didn't renew my contract. I thought they were. I had my and final meeting.
If you're leaving anyway, it's like, I don't work here anymore. I want to say what I want. Right. You know, for me, I didn't necessarily get the Vicky. I didn't get the Vicky or anything like that. It was a decision that I had come to like 2 years prior. Like I always knew at 40, I wanted to semi-retire, which would have meant leaving one of my bigger positions, one of my bigger jobs, to make more space and time for just Portia and being a mom and living my life off camera. So like it was definitely my decision, and you can hear that from Andy. Like Andy corners me every time he talks to me, and he's like, so you're coming back?
I was gonna say, I feel like you got the Jorinda, you're on the pause. I think you're pausing, but you're on your own terms. You're just like, listen, I have this new show, I have so much going on, because you have so much going on in your life.
So much.
And then it's like it takes a lot of time.
It does take a lot. It's possible. I'm just doing what feels natural to me right now. Yeah. I'm saying yes to whatever Portia, was ever laid on my heart. And it was laid on my heart to walk away for a while.
Yeah. And how have the women been since? I mean, Tamara and I have both shared, like for me, since all of the Beverly Hills girls, we all still are very close. We talk all the time. And Tamara and OC, like those girls are like cutthroat. They're not talking. Like Shannon has completely turned her back.
I talked to a couple of them, but most of them are really brutal. They just want to be the one that's on the longest. And I, Vicky and I were on the longest and we both left at the same time.
Yeah.
And like you, 2 years prior, I was like, you know what? It's time for me to move on. I could feel it, and I knew that Bravo could feel it too, because I was kind of holding back. I was not being the Tamara that I used to be. And you're more
protective of you. Yeah, you're more protective of you. You want to protect your peace. Yeah. It's certain things that you don't want to be a part of anymore. And, I'm sure that's, what you probably were going through. And for me, at the end of the day, when someone hasn't liked you for years on the show and you leave the show, they're not all of a sudden going to become your friend.
Right.
It's what it is. We never talked. We're still not going to talk. And that's just, they're going to give you some fake well wishes and that's going to be that.
Right. Now, who are you still close with?
Drew, love Drew. Of course, Shamia is my bestie for life. Candy, I see her here and there. So, we're in Atlanta, she and I, come in contact and stuff. So, but the other girls, we didn't end the show having that relationship. So.
What about Phaedra? Are you friends with Phaedra?
From afar,
I just asked because I just did the All-Star show with Phaedra and I totally fell in love with her.
How fun was that? I bet y'all killed it. Now that's the one I can't wait for.
I'm going to say you're going to be on it real soon.
Well, you tweeted back before the pandemic that you and Giselle were going to be on Real Housewives Girls Trip. What ended up happening with that?
Yeah, when they came up with the concept, we were the first ones that they asked to be on the show. But, it was during quarantine. We had travel restrictions and all of that. And then when it came back around to actually happen, Giselle and I were booked and busy doing chat room and doing some other things.
Yeah.
I was doing some other things. So we look to revisit it in the future. But yeah, it was definitely talked about.
Have you been watching?
No.
It's really good. It's very refreshing. It really is because you think
I can see how it could be for fans for sure. I mean, they don't know what's going to happen with Atlanta. So they're just thirsty for, trying to see that dynamic again. So I could see how it could be fun for fans.
You're seeing a different side to all the girls too, which I think is fun about this because when you watch the actual city, you see you see that one side that they want you to see. And then here you're breaking the fourth wall. Everybody's.
It is crazy. There's cameras everywhere. There's cameras in the hallways that rotate. 24/7 there's cameras. The only place that's safe is in your bedroom, in your bathroom. That is it.
So it's basically like any other trip we take on Housewives.
Yes, but 8 to 9 days long. And it's overwhelming. You get to the point where I want to go home.
On Atlanta trips, are they filming you? Like, are there permanent cameras up? Because Beverly Hills, we never had that.
Yes. Yes. We ended up towards the end, we ended up having cameras up, you know, like all the time or whatever. So, but you know, that's why when I wrote my book, I had to talk about housewives. You know, we're talking about it now. I've been on the show 10 years. How could you write a book about your life and not involve such a big part of it?
Right.
And involve the and talk about the relationships. And since it's my memoir, I do break the fourth wall. I do talk about a lot that
I love it
for me off camera in my book. So
no, we are so I already downloaded the audiobook and I started listening to it last night. It's really great. I'm already hooked. And we do this thing where we do like rapid fire questions through our Instagram. And I was flooded with questions for you. First and foremost, everybody wants to know if you're going to have more kids.
Yes. That was one of my questions.
That was one of your questions.
Yes.
You wrote it into my Instagram.
No, PJ is so pretty. She's so adorable. Like you have to.
You know, at two, that is definitely the time when you start thinking, wow, she needs a little sister to kind of, so that she can go ahead and be a big sister.
Or a brother.
Yeah, or a brother. Yeah. I can see. I can looking at her too. I can see why a lot of families start to have their second child at 2 years old for sure. Because it's like they grow so fast.
It's easier to have two than it is one. Because then they can especially.
Well, I have more than that. My fiance has kids. So we have kids running around.
How old are his kids?
Yeah, he has 11-year-old, 10-year-old. Yeah, we got kids in the house already.
Because I have to give you one, you know, mom thing. It's not actually the terrible twos. It's the terrible threes.
Threes. Yes.
So whoever tells you two is the worst is no. Once they can fully speak and tell you what they want and get into everything, it's so much harder. So that's why like around 18 months to two, you're like, oh, I'm feeling like I can do this again.
I want a new one. Right. You're like, I want a new one.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, whack, you hit three and you're like, oh, hell.
Oh, I call it terrific twos because I'm trying to speak positivity, trying to speak terrific into those terrible days. It works sometimes. And some days it's just terrible.
And we've been watching Portia's Family Matters, the series. I'm loving it. And we have to ask some questions about Simon.
Okay. Because, you know, I married a Simon. It didn't work out very well.
Oh, your first husband was Simon.
I know my second.
Second. Okay, I forgot.
I'm on my third now.
Okay, that's all right.
I'm on my second.
Sometimes it takes, you know, a little bit of time to figure it out.
This will be my second.
Yeah.
See you guys were fine. So
no
this
shame.
Is Simon's I learned
this is my second and my third ring.
Third ring. Do you keep the rings? How does that work?
You read my mind.
Now y'all know you do not keep an engagement ring.
I don't know.
I wouldn't give it back unless they asked.
You can't, they can actually take you to court and sue you for the ring back because you didn't fulfill the promise.
So did Dennis ask for his ring back?
I gave it back.
Oh, you gave it back voluntarily.
Yeah,
I think I would have held on to it.
I think it depends if the guy did something, like in Dennis's case, I don't know that I would give it back because he's the one that messed up. So he didn't really fulfill.
Traditionally, you give it back. That's all I know.
You are so sweet.
You're nicer
sweet.
Than us.
Sweet. I'm sweet.
You are sweet. You know, when I met you, you were so nice. I tell people this all the time. And every time your name is mentioned about Housewives, whatever. When we did Fiber One, I was so like nervous to meet you because obviously I'd seen you on the show. Right. And then when I met you, you were so nice, so sweet, fixing my outfit, telling me my booty looked good. Like, yeah,
did look good.
Oh,
I was hurting all y'all body. Remember, we were on that set. I had just had PJ.
Yes.
And like 5 corsets on. I had just had her like 3 months before doing that whole video shoot. We were like Britney Spears and Beyonce out there.
That was a big production.
You guys looked hot.
Thank you.
You got to do a little throwback to it. I remember when that came out.
Yeah.
Are you having fun doing the new show?
You know what? I'm glad that it is taped and it is done. Okay. Like,
how many episodes?
It was a lot. I don't have the total number yet, but it really was a lot, to be honest with you. You know, like my family is raw. We love hard. We tell it like it is. And they didn't curb anything for the cameras. It still was what it was.
But I feel like your family was meant for TV.
Just like me.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be like the new Kardashian show.
Yeah, people see where I get it from. Like, I think people can see my personality in a lot of different people. Like, my grandmother is shady. She's straight up. She says like it is. You know, my aunt is super funny. One of my little cousins is goofy and says crazy stuff like me. You know, so you get to, it's like me times 10. Yeah.
Well, I started laughing when they ask you, they're like, how did you guys start talking? How did you and Simon start talking? Yeah. And you're like, well, he slid into my DMs, but let me know if he says something else. And then they pan to him and he's like, well, she was DMing me.
So what is the truth?
Set the record straight.
Everything is the truth. Everything. It's all together. Listen, that's why I said in my interview, when they ask me, I'm like, what did he say? Like, you know, what did he say or whatever? You know, it's just crazy. Like, when you're doing your interview, you have no idea what the next family member is saying, what they're doing. You have no idea. And they just get what they get.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
But who slid into the DMs first? We got to know that part.
I did. I said it.
Okay. All right.
7-5. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
You were just checking on him.
Yeah, exactly. No,
yeah. You were just being a nice friend.
I was telling him that I hate he was going through that. I mean, I know what heartache is. I've been through heartache and I've been through it publicly. It's not easy.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And then he also, I feel like I go through this with my husband all the time too, about the posting without permission.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Mm-mm. Like, Tamara and I even DM'd the other day because she posted a picture of me with my eye like.
That's code. That's
code. No, I know. And the thing is, I did it on the way home and my eyesight's so bad and I didn't have my readers on. And I was concentrating on Cheryl Burke, who closed her eyes in every picture. So I kept trying to find it. And we had like 10 of the same picture. I'm like, oh, here's one with Cheryl's eyes open. And I posted. I'm like, oh, shit. Teddy's eyes are closed. Yeah.
She just made you take one for the team.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with eyes closed, but there are certain things that I don't like post it. And so I'm kind of the same with my husband. And I know people are like, you can't control what your husband does. But I'm like, no, if you're going to post, you should approve by me or post one that I've already posted.
Yeah. I mean, most women have to monitor their husbands when they post. I mean, we love the perfect picture and they just think we're perfect. So it doesn't matter what we look like. They're just like, oh, you look so sweet. And I'm like, but my hair is crazy. My wig is pushed back. I don't have concealer on. Like, I don't like the angle.
Yeah.
You know.
And you weren't ready to show the tat.
Right.
Are you going to show us? How's it look right now?
The same as it does on that picture. Oh, don't watch Portia Family Matters.
You guys have to watch it.
Yeah, there you go.
It's so good. And then what is the biggest takeaway from writing a book that you've learned about yourself?
That I was able to do it. I never thought I was going to be able to speak about a lot of different, you know, hard things in my life. It was great adding all the fun things in. I have a lot of great family moments in there with my dad and with my mom and just the highs. But talking about your lows, a lot of people want to forget those things, but all of it makes you who you are. So once I got finished with the Audible and having read it all out loud in the sittings, it was like, wow, I'm a survivor. And I'm actually on the other side and I'm here and I made it and look how good God is. After I got finished, that was the overwhelming feeling that I had.
Yeah. And what's the most common misconception people have about you?
I don't know. There's so many. I mean, check the comments. I don't know. To be honest with you, I think I really, these days in my life, and you guys will probably notice this about yours now that you're not on the show, I have the ability to just focus on the positive. So people who want to know about me, people who follow me, who want to know my journey, who want to know me deeper, who are supporters of me, those are the people I focus on. And those are the people who this book is for, because they're going to be able to receive the message and not just the headline. You have to go beyond that. The book is about so much. And so I don't really focus on naysayers or what someone doesn't understand. Because if you don't understand me after reading The Pursuit of Portia, you just don't like me or you just don't want to know me, because I really put my heart out there in order to help someone else, my testimony out there in order to help someone else through their pain and find their power and purpose.
Did I read that you had to talk to your mom first before you were going to write this book? Why?
Because I admire my mom so much, and like, I live for my mom. Like, I look up to her so much. I didn't want to disappoint her with a lot of the things that I put in the book, because I had not told her them before. I haven't said a lot of those things to her. Gotcha. And so I just wanted permission to be that open. And I wasn't detailed when I asked about what I was putting. I just asked her, was it all right? And she said, yes. And I did.
How long did it take you to write it?
Over a year.
Yeah. And did you write it during the pandemic?
Yes, I began the process during the pandemic. It was really a moment where, you know, the first part of the pandemic was really just about Dennis and I in the house with PJ, just like, oh my gosh, just being so close. But then after the fun part, you realize I'm really locked in this house with just me. You know, yeah. I really started self-reflecting and kind of diving in and just taking account of my whole life. And I was like, wow, I've been through so much. And then I was approached about writing a book, and I was like, this is the perfect place to put all of this. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a very long therapy session. So that's pretty much what you're reading in the book, are the notes from my therapy session.
How is co-parenting going? I have an amazing bonus daughter, stepdaughter with Edwin. When I met him, he had a baby, Isabella, who honestly changed my life meeting her. I never even knew I wanted to be a mom until I met her. Oh. And so I just learning as I've gone along on like how we can all co-parent together and make it all about Isabella has been such a learning curve, and always keeping it positive. What's been the highs and the hardest part of that?
You know, communication is key when it comes to co-parenting and doing my show, Portia's Family Matters. I realized that my communication with my co-parent wasn't the same as how he actually felt. So I was shocked at a lot on the show. And you can see that, like, as he's talking about his perspective on everything or how he feels about me as a co-parent, all of that was a shock to me in front of the camera, because I thought we had this perfect, you know, transition into family member as opposed to romantic relationship, when actually he was still feeling some type of romantic feeling. So I was confused by that. And I figure it all out on camera, which is crazy. Look, I guess that goes with how my life is. All of it happens on camera. I come to the realization of what I'm actually dealing with during that show.
Wow.
Yeah. I really like the fact that you are still close with Dennis, and he can still come around, and that your daughter can still see you guys together, even though you're not together. And for me, that was something I really wanted with my ex, Simon.
Yeah.
And he didn't want any part of it. And I feel like it really hurts the kids it really puts a big division in the family, and the kids feel like they're being pulled from side to side when it happens like that.
I think that's where we are now, unfortunately. We have to figure out how we're going to really make this happen. You're going to see how we got to this place. It's not a bad place to be in. It's just a place where we just have to recalibrate and come to terms and figure out what that new blending situation will look like. Because it looks different from being a single woman to now having a spouse. It looks completely different, you know.
Being able to do Christmas together and things like that is so important to the kids. And I can tell you, it goes up and down. Like, I was in a really good place with my ex, and then a bad one, then a good one. Like, it, you know.
I have to say, from coming from parents that work together, I appreciate the fact that they didn't spend holidays together. I appreciate the fact
really?
That like it was separate, because if not, you're trying so hard to be everything to everybody
yeah.
and please both sides and make sure both people are happy that you can't actually enjoy your holidays.
Yeah.
My biggest piece of advice is like, set your boundaries, set what works for you.
Yeah, that's
good
advice.
Know what to plan ahead. Like even I hated when my parents came to the agreement of like, okay, you get Christmas and you get Christmas Eve. Like I was like, no, I want bigger chunks of time so I can enjoy mm-hmm. that family at that time. I don't want to feel like I'm being ripped back and forth and having to talk about what I did with the other ones, because
yes.
it was so confusing as a child for me. But when they'd be like, are you going to be a week here, a week there, you'll have New Year's with mom and Christmas with dad. I was able to like start embracing the lifestyle at each home versus feeling like I'm just trying to keep the peace.
Yeah. But PJ is so little.
I have to say that you just blessed me with that. Because I think, I mean, as a mom, and I'm sure him as a dad, that's our number one concern is how this will affect her. And you speaking is would be an older Pilar. You would be lit. That's the experience she would have. So that really blessed me to know that that would be a better way to do it for her. And honestly, I grew up the same way. My parents divorced when I was two. But you forget about that because, you know, we new age parents think we can create or fix the wheel. If it's all, listen, it is what it is.
There's a reason it didn't work.
It's a reason that it didn't work, but I do appreciate you sharing that, because I think that's what I was, that's what was pulling me so much during mm-hmm. the show. That's why that's why it kind of looks like I'm still in love with Dennis on the show, because I'm so focused on Pilar needs her family together
yeah.
that I'm forgetting that I am now, you know, it has to look different. She's going to have two different households. It is what it is.
Yeah. But I think that women that are going through that are totally going to relate to that, and they're going to look up to you and go, oh my God, she's trying so hard to yeah. have a good relationship with their ex. Doesn't mean you have to spend every single holiday with them or whatever, but just in a good relationship where you honor him and you let your daughter know that, you know, this is your dad and we have a good relationship, so much better for her.
Yeah. And like you just said, I have to trust that I've done that, because her relationship with him now is she's two and she's obsessed with her dad. Yeah. That is because of our good co-parenting. That's because yeah. we both put her ahead of our feelings. When we were pissed, I didn't care that I was pissed at him. You still come to the house and pick her up, still come to the house and see her. What we made her priority. So you have to trust yeah. what you've done as a parent moving forward too, and lean on that.
And his, I mean, mom, I think his mom scares me.
Yeah. I'm going to just keep her in prayer, because
I think I prayed for her last night.
Lift her up in prayer, child.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, and what parents tend to do is they will talk about the other parent to the child. And I remember something that would drive me crazy. This is, I know you have to go, but just one little piece, like my parents, when they were mad at me, would call me like little John or little Vicky. I would build up this like resentment yeah. that they would do it, because they would see my, of course you're going to see
traits. That's very
common. From
right.
both. And it's still something mm-hmm. to this day that if they do it, I immediately go back to that little girl where I like start panicking. Yeah. So yeah. like, that's the one thing, like no matter where it goes, because it's going to go 50 different places from here.
Yeah. I always say, love your child more than you hate your ex. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. But you know, my mom and dad honestly did such a great job of co-parenting. They really did. She never talked about, I had a stepmom. She never talked about my stepmom in front of me. She always, you know, if it was time to go to my dad's, even if she just cursed him out, it was like, daddy's here.
Yeah, so great.
And I'm
good.
Sure she said the girl like, ugh. You know, but she never showed me any of that. And that's the practice I have with Pilar and her dad.
Oh, good.
Because I went through some hurtful times in the beginning of our relationship. I could have put all that into her, but I didn't. And it's going to bless her in the future. She's not going to feel that.
And I know we just have time for one last question, but what would you give to somebody who has been cheated on, to somebody who has been hurt? What's your biggest piece of advice to them who, like, they have that resentment and the anger and they're having a hard time moving on?
Just go through the process. It's not going to happen overnight. It took me, you know, going through postpartum and almost a year after to fully move on. And at the end of it, I just realized I just had to choose me, you know, period. I just had to choose my mental health, my happiness out of that situation. And, you know that just because that person made you know, did something to you, or I want to say make a mistake. I hate calling a mistake, but was not perfect in that way. It doesn't even mean they're a bad person. It just means that they don't need to be with you. They didn't see you. They didn't value you. And you want to always get in a relationship where they actually are coming in intentional and want to be with you and do right by you. And that's okay. That person has to grow. Like, anybody cheats on you, they're just not in a place to be in a relationship. That's the only right. thing you can take from it. Yeah. And then you move on.
Ugh, that's such good advice. Thank it you is. So much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations. You guys have to get the book, and you need to be tuning in to the Family Matters series.
So it is good. So good.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Portia.
Thank All you. Right, so guys. Good seeing you again.
You too. Let's do our throwback soon.
Yes. Thank you so much for tuning in to Two Teas in a Pod today. It was so exciting to have Portia. I love her so much. You have to buy her book and watch her new show. It is so good. Portia's Family Matters. Like, she goes deep and she shows a lot. So you guys, send in your questions. We have a ton of opinions.
That wasn't even loud enough. We love you. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep tuning in.